His mother was godly. His grandmother was godly. He was admonished by the Apostle Paul to remember them. Who is this man of the New Testament Scriptures? Today on Scandi Bible Church Podcast, Elder Frank A. Civito opens the Bible to share a special Mother's Day sermon and to answer this question. And welcome to the Scandi Bible Church Podcast for Sunday, May 8th, 2011. We'd like to invite you to visit our website at scandibiblechurch.org, where you can learn more about us, access past sermons, and can obtain the sermon notes for today's message. And now, let's join Frank A. Civito as he delivers his message entitled, Mother's Day.
And of course, I welcome you this morning to Scandia Bible Church on an auspicious occasion, Memorial Day. I'm already thinking about a vacation time off. Mother's Day. For some of us men, it might be Memorial Day if you've forgotten your wife. What I'd like to present to you this morning through this message in the Word of God is primarily tailored to the women, a word of encouragement, since we have so many young mothers here and we have so many young children. I have this word of encouragement that actually comes to give credit to where credit is due from John Piper, who delivered a message, and I've taken a kernel from it, encouraging women to have a global mindset as they raise their children. Now, men, I'm not ignoring you. It is Mother's Day. Give them a break. We talk about men enough. And so what I have brought this morning is entitled, Motherhood, a Holy Calling. Now, I have a question for you. I start the morning message with a quiz. His mother was godly. His grandmother was godly. They were to believe because they lived what they taught. They were to be believed because they had the character that made their teaching trustworthy. And we cannot for a moment underestimate the power and influence of a mother and a grandmother from the very earliest years of infancy teaching this little one the things of God. So I ask you to keep in mind these two ladies. The mother's name is Eunice. The grandmother's name, Lois. And I must have got it right because nobody's correcting me. Who is the young man involved? Timothy, correct. Well, we gather here today to worship and praise God, which is always our first and foremost duty. And we shall do exactly that as we examine the role of motherhood in the church. First point I'd like to bring to you is that, ladies, and predominantly I think all of you here are moms, to be a mother is a very high and holy and crucial calling that many of you embrace with little understanding or encouragement from the world around you. Now, the world does not understand that call of God in your life, which is marriage. They don't understand that it's the joyful support of your husband and his calling. The world does not understand as you and your husband display what the relationship between Christ and the church looks like. The world does not understand what Christian motherhood is all about. The communication of a God-centered, Christ-treasuring vision of life to your children. And the world does not understand how you can create a beautiful home and a simple place and a living organism which becomes not only for the family but also for the community, a refuge of Christ's peace and a place to learn about God's righteousness. Mothers, you are the ones who have heard Titus chapter 2, verses 4 through 5, not as oppressive, but as liberating. As you recall, Paul said to Titus that the older women should train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, to be pure, working at home, kind and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. You women have heard that calling and have responded. It is a rich and deep and precious and high and holy calling, this call to motherhood. Motherhood confirms your heart's longings and is absolutely essential for the shaping of a God-centered, Christ-exalting church and culture. So let's take a look at these two wonderful ladies of Scripture, Lois and Eunice. And for that, we turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. So you'll turn to your Bibles with me there. These two godly women mentored this young man. Commentators differ, of course, in how this all took place. Did Lois and Eunice respond to teaching from Paul? Did they hear it from somewhere else? But we know that these were two Jewish ladies brought up in their traditions and in their teachings. So it was very easy for them to connect the dots that led to Jesus Christ as Messiah. And their mentoring of Timothy had a profound effect on early church leadership. I'm actually going to start at verse 10 so we get the whole context of this passage. Paul writing to Timothy to encourage him. Paul writes, "Now you followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, perseverance, persecutions, and suffering such as happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, but evil men and impostors will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. You, Timothy, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." And we'll stop there. We're primarily looking at verses 14 and 15. First question we ask ourselves is, from whom did Timothy learn the word? And of course, you notice from that reading two things. First, Paul is talking about in verse 14, Eunice and Lois, Timothy's mother and grandmother. And there are three clues that lead us to this conclusion. Our first clue, Paul refers in verse 15 for this learning as happening from childhood. Timothy could not recall a period when he had not known the sacred writings, when he had not received the teachings from these sacred writings. Secondly, we see in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, these words, "I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, dwells in you as well." So Paul has already connected Timothy's faith with what he got from his mother and his grandmother. And the third clue is the answer to the question why Paul did not refer to Timothy's father. That answer is found in Acts 16, verse 1, where Luke tells us about how Paul chose Timothy in the first place as a missionary partner. Luke writes, "Paul came also to Derbe and to Lystra. A disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek." So Timothy, interestingly enough, is the product of a house with a believing mother and an unbelieving father. And that's why Paul did not say that Timothy learned the scriptures from his father, because obviously he didn't. His father was a Greek. He didn't necessarily believe in them. But his mother and grandmother did, and that is who Paul is referring to in 2 Timothy 3:14. And interestingly enough, here in one package, this makes Timothy a third-generation Christian. And contrary to the way it sometimes happens, his faith was not diminished. And here, from this example, God is showing us that even in a home that is unequally yoked, it is possible that a patient, teaching, godly mother will have great results. Second point I'd like to bring to you in the message today is for us as children to remember your godly mother. So the second thing to see in this verse is that remembering the character of a godly mother, your godly mother perhaps, is a great incentive to holding fast to the scriptures that she taught you. And so we'll read it again so you can see this. Verse 14, "But as for you, Timothy, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed." That is, he's telling Timothy, don't give up your faith in times of tribulation or persecution. Don't give up the scriptures. Don't give up your salvation. And then comes these crucial words referring back to Eunice and Lois. Knowing from whom you learned it. So in other words, Timothy, one of the ways, and not the only way, of course, but one of the ways to strengthen your faith and persevere through hard times and not give up on the scriptures when the going gets tough, is to remember who introduced you to the Word of God and the way of salvation. Timothy, remember your mother and your grandmother. From Kaufman Commentaries, this quote, "It is true of all men who have the good fortune to come from godly homes that the teaching example of Christian parents is a priceless advantage. But such parents always teach their children that the authority is not in them, but in the Word of the Lord." Those sacred writings. We also see this family living out what was written in Proverbs 22, verse 6. "Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it." Familiar words lived out in the life of Timothy. So Paul is giving Timothy something to refer to when, again, the going gets tough, when it starts to grind on you, when you're being persecuted for your faith. He's saying, Timothy, remember your godly teaching. Remember the godly examples of your mother and your grandmother. This will keep you centered, Timothy, and on the right path. This is a great and priceless gift your mothers can provide, a gift that gives forever and ever. It's a precious gift, the most precious gift I believe your children could ever receive. It will always be cherished, always be thought upon, meditated upon, remembered fondly, and then centered, helping you to keep centered. Am I right, Keith?
Yes.
So let's finish our look then at 2 Timothy 3:15. "Able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation," he writes. The Old Testament was able to do this because in them were contained the prophecies which pointed out and identified the Messiah when he came into the world. Only in this sense could the Old Testament make one wise unto salvation, as Paul immediately adds the qualifying clause, through faith which is in Christ Jesus. This clause is interesting, again from Kaufman Commentaries. This clause is interesting in that it defines the arena where the faith that saves is operative, giving a concise definition of what faith in Christ actually means. It has no reference to the subjective trust or faith of believers, but means faithful adherence to the teachings of Christ. And we see how effective and lasting those teachings were in Timothy as he received them from his mother and from his grandmother. Our third point I'd like to bring in today's message is motherhood is honored in this passage. Paul, in this text, bestows on motherhood and grandmotherhood a great honor. Ladies, you have a calling that can become the long-remembered ground of faith, not just for your children, but for the untold numbers who will be affected by your children. Think of that. I'm sure that was not in the mind of Eunice and Lois as they taught Timothy the scriptures. And as they saw him you know, become attached to Paul and being used in missionary work and spreading the gospel in those days of the early church, that must have been amazing to them. And they must have praised God daily. But they had no idea when they began what the result would be. And it's interesting, you know, that Paul would remind Timothy of his heritage, of where he first learned of Jesus, the Messiah. Paul, I'm sure, probably recalled with delight the memory of those two ladies himself. Because perhaps if he did come in contact with them, their joy in receiving then Christ as Lord and Savior, of being able to put together what they knew from the Old Testament with the life and teachings of Jesus. We have no idea of how much the Lord used Timothy in his leading of the early church. There's just simply no recorded, you know, diary of it. But what an honor. What an honor to be remembered in the Scriptures for all time, to be shown as an example of what godly parenting looks like and what it might lead to. Well, that brings us back now to the here and now. At the beginning of the message, I said that to be a mother is a very high and holy and crucial calling that many of you have embraced. And just as Lois and Eunice, you have no idea where God will take your child to use what you have taught them. And with this idea of where it might lead, you know, the women who flourish most and who delight most in that high and holy calling and who are best at it are women whose lives are not confined by their houses. Quoting John Piper here, they are women who are aware of the world. They are aware of God's global purpose. They are aware of the ultimate purposes of God in history. And they are aware of things in history and in the far-off reaches of the world today that God is doing. You mentioned earlier our two missionaries, Holly and Tony, out in Tanzania. Do you believe that their parents had an idea of where they were going when they were children? Probably not. But amazing to be raised up and taught and see where God has taken them. Christian women of today, as they have all throughout history, teach their children about God and His Word. They do so in obedience to the Word of God to train up a child. They want to raise global Christians, world Christians, Christians who will take the gospel message places that neither Paul nor Timothy did. A mother will delight most in that little baby in front of her that she's holding in her lap when she has a vision of God and a vision of the world that's big enough to admit that this little child has a destiny in front of her. It's a great and glorious calling to be a mother and a homemaker and a wife and a neighborhood make-it-all-happen kind of person. Who knows what God might be pleased to do when a mother raises up her child in Him? If a godly mother is to succeed at this task, she must be a woman filled with faith, love, and holiness. These must not be occasional, but consistent qualities of life. And it's no wonder that there are women who spurn this task, preferring the halls of government, the materialistic empire, or the busy office. There is no more demanding work in all the world, no more awe-inspiring job description than raising a godly seed. It will challenge all the genius, talent, and grace that any human being could possess. Women's hope, the church's hope, the world's hope, is joined to childbearing with continuance in faith, love, and holiness. Young women, this is encouragement for you, because here is a lifelong calling. It is the highest any woman can enter. There is much more to it than the worldly images. Take it seriously, and God will bless the generation to come, quoting Walter Chantry. It's a short message on Mother's Day because I just wanted to bring to you this example of Lois and Eunice. And as we look back over this message, we have learned that you women who have chosen to be mothers have answered a challenging calling. You have the opportunity and the responsibility to work hand in hand with your husband to teach your children all about God and His kingdom. You have the example of these two women and see where their labor of love took young Timothy. He became protege of Paul, who then went on to continue the leadership in the church. Lois and Eunice, in reality, all their work gave God the glory, as Timothy was given a strong and sure foundation on which to ground his Christian beliefs on. We don't know, do we, where our lives are heading, much less our own children, but we trust in a loving Father who will see us through even to the end. Well, since today is Mother's Day, we end with this, a mother's crown of joy. Perhaps the way we should end is by reminding ourselves as sons and daughters, whether old or young, that the fountain of life and the strong confidence and the deep satisfaction that comes from honoring all the truth that our mothers taught us also comes back to them as a crown of joy, a crown of honor, and a crown of blessing in their later years. Proverbs 23:25 tells us, "Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her rejoice who gave birth to you." Do not forsake the teaching of your mother. It will be a wreath of grace to your head and a crown of joy upon hers. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you the praise and the glory this day as we honor mothers in today's message. Father, from this example of Lois and Eunice, you show us what an effective parenting looks like, Father, as they were able to give young Timothy a strong and sure foundation in which to go forth from and to be one of the leaders of your early church. And Father, as there are so many young children here in our congregation, we pray that both mother and father are up to the task of teaching from your sacred word and living godly, holy lives that will always be in the memories of these young children, that they may also grow up to know you as Lord and Savior. And Father, as you deal with each and every one of us in our lives today, may you give us the strength to boldly proclaim who you are and why we need to know you as Lord. To you be the glory this day as we close our time here. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
Well, that wraps up our sermon for this week. We'd love to hear from you. Drop us a line through our contact page on scandiabiblechurch.org and let us know where you're listening from and how our church family can pray for you. Scandia Bible Church is located in the beautiful Northwest in Paulsville, Washington. If you ever find yourself in our area, we'd love to meet you. So until next week, for all of us here at Scandia Bible Church, may God richly bless you.